The church is not a commodity to consume. Amen? It's people to love. The church is not a service to attend. It's people walking together in the kingdom. This is what church is. I want to use a metaphor real quick to help explain how we orient things around here. We don't try to do everything in the kingdom in the same service. Have you figured that out? Two of you have. That's awesome. Good job. So the rest of us, this is important. Pay attention. Is, you know how you have a house, and in the house, there are rooms. There are rooms that are specifically designed for certain purposes, like a kitchen. It's probably my favorite place in the house because it's designed to prepare food. Yeah, it's designed to prepare food and drink, and that's where the coffee lives, is in the kitchen. So that's one of my favorites. But there's also bedrooms, and they're designed for sleep and getting ready. And there's garages, which are designed for oily things and grassy things and smelly things that go in the garage. And you don't want to try to bring all those things in the same room. And the same thing is true with church. We have services like tonight where we corporately encounter the Lord together. And the Holy Spirit has space and room to move and do what he wants to do and do what he's so good at doing. And we give him space to move. We give him room to raise us up into the people that we're called to be. And we also hear an equipping word, which sends us out into the week to go not just think about godly things, but actually go live a lifestyle of revival in our city. That's what tonight's for. We also have prayer sets. Prayer sets are amazing. How many of you have been to a prayer set in the last year? Okay, I'd like to see some more hands up next time I preach. Prayer sets are amazing. It's where we steward the fire of intimacy with God. We adore him. We worship him. We pray, and God does something beautiful. He stokes the fire within us in our prayer sets. And then the most amazing things happen is we begin to get a spirit of intercession comes on as people, where we start to pray over our families and our city and our spouses, and all kinds of intercession pours out through our prayer sets. I want to encourage you to go to a prayer set. We also have house churches. How many of you have been to a part of a house church since you've been at Riverhouse? All right. Yeah. About a quarter of the room. House churches, they're about loving God together, collectively, belonging, fellowshipping one another, being with each other. And listen, all of these things are church. All of these things are church. If you've grown up in the West, you would think that tonight the service is what we call church, and it is church. But it's not the only thing that's church. So to really embody being a part of the body and being members of one body, we got to expand to see church the way God sees it. He doesn't see it as an institution. He doesn't see it as an organization, although we need organization. Amen. He sees it as the people of God. We're the church. And we land in these different spaces of prayer, of worship, of fellowship and community, of teaching and preaching of the word. And this is all church. Amen? Are you following me? So at Riverhouse, we have some core lifestyle rhythms. And that's our prayer sets, our house churches, and our Sunday evenings. These are our core things that mark fullness in Riverhouse, that we feel like these are the pillars that really mark the grace that's on this house as believers. And we hope these things empower you to live the life God's called you to live. Amen? We also have some what I would call seasonal things or add-ons. And these are awesome. I just mentioned one a minute ago. Deep Waters Leadership. We got leaders in the room. We got people that are going to be leading house churches a year from now in the room, sitting there right now. We got leaders all across this ecosystem that need to be raised up and empowered to lead at greater capacities. Amen. Yeah, all those things are good things. So the main way we cultivate community at Riverhouse is through our house churches. We got a lot of things going on Sunday nights. It's really difficult to build deep, meaningful fellowship on a Sunday night. If you're new to house churches, they're all over the New Testament. Acts 5:42 says, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus was the Messiah. Acts 2:42, they broke bread in their homes. Amen? House churches quickly became a primary location for Christian gatherings in the first early days of the church. And that's why we do them here. Because things happen in house churches that don't happen here. Amen. I don't know if you know this, but in China, there's 80 million people in house churches. That's a lot of people. In India, there's 84 million Christians in house churches. Some estimate there's between 1 and 2 million house churches in India. I would say this, most of the world is ahead of America when it comes to understanding the fullness of what church looks like. We're probably the laggards, the people bringing up the rear as far as our understanding of the fullness of what church looks like. All right, so here we go. Four reasons why community is not an option. Are you ready? I'm being more direct these days. Who's fired up for four reasons why community is not an option? Let's go. Number one, community grounds us. We need to be grounded. I talked to lots of people about decisions they've made in life, and I will say this. Most of the decisions people regret making, they did without community. They did by themselves. That's that American individualism. Yeah, we need each other. We need each other to make decisions. It grounds us. I just talked to somebody in my community last week about a decision I'm weighing before the Lord. Yeah, build community. It grounds us. And then ask people to pray with you about things. I have friends in this room that are, you know, asking about, hey, would you pray about this? Would you pray about that? Would you discern something from the Lord for me in this area? Community grounds us. We need it. I love this picture. It says, Proverbs 11:14 says, in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. Yeah, develop counsel around you. Community is your place of counsel. Amen. I don't know if you know this, but some of the tallest trees in the world live in the Sequoia National Forest. You guys know this? There's sequoia trees. Who's been there? Who's seen them? Yeah, they're amazing. Some of them get like 500 and 600 feet tall. And I was learning about these one day, and I learned this. One of the ways they survive storms and wind and all this stuff is they depend on each other. They actually build root systems that intertwine with other trees around them. What a powerful picture of community. Revealed in nature that these massive trees that are vulnerable to wind and storm and all these things, knocking them over. But God wired them to root with one another, to be grounded and strengthened by the strength of the other tree next to them. Some of these trees are hundreds of feet apart from each other, but they nurture each other. I thought that was fascinating. You know, Psalm 1 says, you, the righteous person, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields a fruit in service season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he or she does prospers. You're like a tree. If you're a righteous person, you're like a tree. I also love this picture, Isaiah 61. They, meaning you, will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor. You know, I love that picture, oaks of righteousness. That's what you're supposed to become in the kingdom, is an oak tree, an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And I think it's not coincidental that Boise is called the city of trees. A city of trees. A city, a whole network of oak trees. And you know what? We need community to ground us. We need community to help us through the things that life throws us. It's a prophetic picture for us. Boise, River House, your oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. Our community grounds us. Amen? Number two, community grows us. This one's going to be fun. All right, community grows us like no other. How many of you that are married, how many of you got some serious growth curve going when you got married? A few honest people in the room. I love that. I see that him, Sam. Yeah, good job. I was going to mention you, but I, you know, decided not to, so. Man, how many of you people that are not married, you got in a house church, you got in a work situation, and people there caused you to have to grow? Oh, yeah. Man, community grows us. It grows us like no other. And this is important because we need to grow. And I feel like some of us are actually stuck in a plateau. We're stuck in a growth plateau because we're not in regular fellowship and community. And there's growth. There's actually unrealized growth inside of you waiting for you to engage in community in a different way than you have. And I've seen this in my own life. Like, I have grown so much by being in community with people, hearing their stories and their struggles, learning to meet needs. I was so blessed. As a pastor, I get to sometimes experience people who are in need. And I hear stories of how the house churches that they're connected to rally, and they raise money, and they help with babysitting, and they do all these practical needs. It's amazing to watch God's people meet needs. I get asked sometimes, what should I do to prepare if I want to get married? There's a lot of things that you could do. One of the things I tell people is get in a community and meet the needs of other people. Because marriage is a community. And chances are the person you're married to is going to have different needs than you have. You're probably really good at meeting the needs you have. But a lot of times, we're not so good at meeting needs that other people have that are different than us. So when we're in community with people, we learn to meet needs. And it's part of how we grow. We learn how to see the needs of people around us and meet those needs. And that's huge. So get in community and meet the needs of others. You were designed by Jesus to serve. To serve. Jesus' servant heart is living and beating inside of you. And when you, a true blue believer, when you serve somebody else, it should do something inside of you. It should awaken something inside of you. Jesus' blood is in your veins, so to speak, our servant king. And when we follow the way of our servant king, we come alive inside. All right. If you're struggling, serve someone. Put your attention on somebody else's problems. It changes things. It's a mark of a true believer is that our servant king, his heart is in ours. Let's become servants. Graham Cook says this. He says, heaven's highest priority is making us more like Jesus. I think that's really right on. I think as Americans, we want heaven's highest priority to make us comfortable. But I think it's true. Heaven's highest priority is to make us look more like Jesus. And it's in community that you'll build those muscles. Amen? He also said this, it's impossible to grow in grace without difficult people. I don't like that quote. I just thought I'd give it to you, pass it along. This one's also true. You know, our world tells us if somebody is not your favorite type or they do things that annoy you, our world says what you do is you avoid them or you, what else? Get offended by them. Let them bother you. But this isn't the way of Jesus. I think the quote's right. What if it's supposed to grow you? What if God wants to put you in a group, in a house church, in a ministry setting where there's people that are so not like you, it hurts? And what if our attitude is aligned to his of, at the end of the day, I want my life to look more like Jesus? Then I won't struggle as much. I'm sure I'll still struggle, but I want to be more like Jesus. Amen. All right. It's important that we're growing, and community is one of the areas that grows us. Because there's kingdom callings inside of you. There's passions inside of you. There's giftings inside of you. And these are like seeds inside of us that need a greenhouse. They need an environment where they can spring forth. And my concern is that some of us are sitting idle because we don't have it. We don't have these environments where the seeds of the kingdom that need to grow and come into maturity are just sitting there dormant. I want to challenge you, church. You have so much inside of you. You have so many gifts inside of you that are ready to burst forth. And there's been a lot written about potential. Potential is a beautiful thing. But listen, potential only gets us so far. We need more than potential. Potential needs a process. It needs a process of bringing potential into realized fruitfulness. That's better than your response. You got potential, I've got potential, but what is going to develop that potential into actual fruitfulness for God's glory? I would argue community is going to be one of them. That's what I would argue. All right, so regular engagement in community is one of those processes that converts potential into real fruitfulness. Amen. Number three, community glorifies God. Yeah, Jesus said it. He said, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What are good deeds except things that are done for people? Most good deeds are done for people. So when we do good deeds and it blesses people, it says that's a light that actually brings glory to God. So when we're doing community well, it glorifies the Father. It brings glory to him. I love that. All right, number four. Community is an act of worship. What if we... And I love our worship culture, by the way. This is not a correction at all. This is maybe an expansion of seeing our worship more fully. What if in our zest to worship and praise the Lord like we do, what if we took that same zest home with us and saw the way we treated our spouse as worship? Saw the way we parented our kids as worship to the Lord. Saw the way we talked about our coworkers and our bosses at work as worship, because it is. It's a lifestyle of bringing God glory with my life. It actually is worship. It's different worship. I get it. And don't hear what I'm not saying. But what if worship came home with us and became a lifestyle? What would our city look like 10 years from now? If we embodied that as believers, wow, I think God would be so pleased. I think he's so pleased when we worship him like we did tonight. And I think he's so pleased when our lifestyle becomes worship to him. Amen. I know what some of you are probably thinking right now. You can't do community with 500 people. And it's so true. You can't. I can't. I'm paid and I can't. I can't do it. We can't do it. You can't do it. That's not the point. The point is we need community. We need to find our people. We need to find our people that in this season we're called to run with. And we need to run with them. Amen? That's another reason to join a house church, shameless plug, is it helps you narrow who you're spending your time with. You don't have to build community with 500 people. You can build it with 15 people. And that's beautiful. The bigger we get as a church, the more emphasis we're going to need on our small gatherings. Or we'll lose biblical community. We'll lose it. We could easily become a mega where it's all about Sunday night, and I love our Sunday nights. But this isn't how the early church flourished, and it won't be how we flourish. So now's the time. Now's the time. All right, we need to stay small. In a world that's losing touch with friendship, I read a stat the other day. It said 3 out of 10 men can claim that they have one close friend or more. Only 3 out of 10 men. So in a world where we're losing friendship and we're struggling in community and belonging, God wants to use us to demonstrate our value and our love for people. People matter. People are the church. When we take our time and our talents and our energy and we give it to one another, it's worship to God. It pleases his heart. It blesses him. All right, I'm sending you out the door with habits. You ready? Habits to build community. Write these down. Put them in your phone, whatever you want to do. Number one habit. Before you leave church, I want to challenge you. Talk to two to three different people before you leave church. Not just your friends. You're like, oh, that's easy. Done. Check that box. Talk to your friends. Yeah. But don't just only talk to your friends. Be sociable. Connect. Make a connection. Ask them about their life. Amen? Can you do that? Okay. Number two, show up. This is a big one. Okay. Here come the tomatoes being thrown at me. Show up 15 minutes early to church. Mingle. Talk to people. Build a connection. Yeah, there's a lot of great reasons to be late for church. Have you noticed that? There's a ton of great reasons to be late for church, but none of them are good ones. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Let's just practice being on time for church. Great things happen in the lobby. We can be out there, mingle. We can drink coffee together. We can have just, yeah, space to be together, to be the body together. Amen. Next habit, connect with a house church. Find one that fits you. Our team, we have a house church leadership team, by the way. It's awesome. It's huge. In fact, they're right over here. Jacob and Katie and Luke and Andrew, you guys stand up real quick. They're reluctant to stand. Yeah. Thank you. These guys are doing a great job helping smooth the pathway for house churches to flourish. It's awesome. We have new ways to onboard house churches that we didn't have before. If you need help finding a house church, please let us know. We have a QR code on the screen. Take a picture of it, and our team, meaning those guys, will help you connect better than you have before. That's awesome. Amen. Connect with a house church. I have people tell me, I can't go twice a month. I say, go once a month. If you can't go twice a month, go once a month. That's okay. Don't just opt out completely. Push yourself to engage. Amen. All right, last habit. Here we go. keep at it. Oh, sorry, two more. Keep at it. You're a cultivator of community, not a consumer of it. Community doesn't just happen overnight. It's not like the grocery store when you say, I want a steak dinner tonight. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to grab the steak. I'm going to grab the potato. I'm going to grab the stuff, and I walk out. Community isn't like that. Community is like a garden you plant. You wouldn't go out to the garden the next day and expect vegetables everywhere. So when we're cultivating community, we got to stay with it. We got to have healthy habits, and we got to stick with it. And there's times you're not going to want to show up. I guarantee it. Do it anyway. That's my last one. Push through. Push through. Tell your neighbor, push through. Push through. It won't always be easy. Push through. Am I going to do the easy thing? Or am I going to do the best thing? Our world is getting soft, people. Agree? Disagree? I'll say it again for those who weren't listening. Our world is getting soft. Agree? Disagree? Okay, mostly agree. And one of the reasons why we're getting soft, the evidence, is the opt-out culture. So easy to opt out nowadays. I've had people opt out last second. Hey, can't make it. Can I ask why? We had you signed up to do this thing. It's like, now I'm a Gen Xer, but that's just soft. I'm just gonna say it. That's just soft. If you have a good reason not to be there, yeah, don't be there. It's all good. But let it be a good reason, you know? We got people opting out of all kinds of things at the very last second. Listen, it takes a toll on the other people when we opt out. Let's feel the weight of it. When we opt out, that burden's now carried by other people. Opt out culture. The other thing that tells me the world's getting soft is electric bikes. I mean, maybe I'm the old guy in the room, but like, I don't get it, okay? I don't get it. I'm going to get like 12 emails about how awesome electric bikes are. Listen, you're supposed to pedal a bike. It's supposed to make your muscles strong. There's a reason why you ride a bike and you don't drive a car. You're going to need that muscle one day. I'm on my hobby horse.
Tell me you haven't ridden an e-bike without saying you haven't ridden an e-bike.
Somebody's going to buy me one for Christmas, you watch. Yeah, listen, no offense if you ride an electric bike, okay? No offense. But, guys, we need to be strengthening ourselves in here. You're going to need those muscles one day for something. Life isn't easy. It gets hard. And our opt-out culture, where we just easily opt out of things we are committed to, we just can't have that. We can't be cultivating that in the church today. Let's be people who the Bible says, let's let our yes be yes. When we signed up to be a part of a community, when we signed up to serve in a ministry, let's be there. Let's don't follow the pattern of the world of opting out based on comfort and convenience. Let's be people who are saying yes and doing what we say. Amen? All right, so in close, let us be a community that reflects the nature of our King. A self-emptying King who sacrificed for mankind. Let us be the people that lay our lives down for one another as living sacrifices for God. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. You can stand with me. And ministry team, it'd be great to have you down front. I just want to open the altars tonight. As I was preparing for tonight, I just kept sensing something in my spirit, and that was that some of us have straight up excuses. That's true. Some of us have excuses. Some of us have internal barriers, meaning there's been communities before that have been difficult, or there's been things that have happened that have left marks on our hearts and souls. And I saw the Lord tonight just washing us. I saw the Lord washing our hearts so that we could be functionally attached to one another the way He wants us to be again. So I just want to open the ministry time and the altars, and maybe we can just play a little background music or something. That'd be awesome. And let's, if you have any need, a need for healing in your body, for healing in your heart or your mind, if you have any need at all, I want to encourage you to come forth and let the ministry team pray over you tonight. And then I want to ask you to just soberly evaluate if there's an internal barrier at all that needs the Lord to move on it so that you can be functionally attached to the body the way Jesus is calling us. Amen. Lord, we just ask you tonight, do a healing work in all of us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for pruning us tonight. We thank you that you've called us to be your body, your hands, your feet, to the world and to each other. And we just ask you, God, to wash us in the areas we need washing tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. Come get prayer. You're dismissed. And we'll see you next Sunday for Vision Sunday.